Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning. We'll start today on a somber note, and then we'll get to having fun. I'll read for you the first paragraph from ESPN's story. Rod Bramblett, the radio voice of the Auburn Tigers, and his wife Paula died of injuries suffered in a car crash Saturday night in Alabama, the Lee County Coroner's Office confirmed early Sunday morning. That's not a fun thing to wake up to.
No, it's not. And I actually heard about it last night before I went to bed.
Yeah. Whether you're an Auburn fan or an Alabama fan, we don't like to lose our voice, guys, because, I mean, for an Alabama fan, imagine you woke up and you read that about Eli Gold.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
You know, these are people don't understand, especially this younger generation that didn't grow up listening to games on the radio, that the radio announcer that calls these games is like another member of your family. It's the guy that gets to go to all the games, and he's calling back to let you know what's happening.
Absolutely.
And Auburn has always prided ourselves as being a family first and a university second.
Absolutely.
So when something like this happens, it deeply affects everyone within the Auburn family.
And, you know, I've heard this on the Paul Feibom show that airs on here on this station. There are a lot of people out there who can't see and can't watch a game.
Right.
They rely on the play-by-play announcer and the color.
And you think about it, as an Alabama fan, y'all have had a lot of championships to celebrate lately. And you know, a good way to get through one of those boring Saturday afternoons in March or April when there's no sports worth watching on is to put on an old game.
Yeah.
You know, you could pull up YouTube and get just about any game of the last 10 or 15 years and watch the whole thing, commercials edited out.
Right.
And most of them, they take out the play-by-play announcers from the network and they replace it with the play-by-play guy of your home team.
Right. Exactly.
So I have watched that 2013 Iron Bowl over and over again. But I don't have to listen to the goofballs.
Which one was that?
I believe that one was where we scored 13 points in the last 37 seconds of the game to win the SEC.
I don't seem to recall that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And and we bring that particular game up because the call that Rob Bramblett made on Chris Davis's touchdown return is now the most famous radio call in college football history. No other radio call guy has gone on the Today Show to talk about his call, his call of a play.
Exactly.
And it's a tremendous loss.
Great loss.
A part of me is a little broken this morning.
And, you know, we are an Auburn station.
Right. Here. Absolutely. And his voice has been heard on this station for years.
Absolutely.
So it hurts on many different avenues, but we do have to move on with our lives, and in this case, we have to move on with our show.
Godspeed to the family.
Yes.
So yes, we do have to move on. And anyway,
because we got a big show today.
We do.
We got David Calametti's coming on here in a few minutes. And then at the bottom there, I got to get out of this chair and give it up because Cullen Millsaps and Philip Shermer III of Mad Dog Barbecue.
Where's the second?
Ask him.
Okay, I'll ask
put that on your list of questions.
The third. Okay.
Unless his last name is Ill. I guess it could be Ill. I-L-L. Nah. But I met these guys at Taste of Mobile, and they are raucous. You're going to enjoy it.
Okay. I can't wait. Hey, this is Memorial Day weekend. You see I got my red, white, and blue shirt on here? Lou Ann's so good to me.
Yeah, you see I'm wearing my blue shirt that I wore to the restaurant last night?
Is that blue?
Yeah.
That's gray.
Well, you know, the rest of us see in Technicolor. When Mike's eyes were invented, it was still just black and white.
Yeah, right. But it is Memorial Day weekend, and it is grilling season. And what perfect people to have, guests to have, than people with barbecue sauce.
Exactly. That's why I scheduled it for this
week. That's great. And
I time those things up like that, Mike.
And I'm probably going to give some advice on what wines to drink for grilling
season. A good plan. Good plan.
And let's see what else we're going to talk
and
about.
And you saw I got a little sneak peek this week from Playhouse Spices.
Uh-huh.
They sent me a bunch of spices to try. These are the people that live in downtown Mobile. It's a husband and wife team. We're going to have them on the show in a couple of weeks.
Cool
so
beans.
We'll get more in depth into it. But I'm working my way through the spices.
I want to meet them.
Yeah. Their spice blends are not anything you've ever had before. I did some Cajun food Thursday night with their blackening seasoning, which is called Weeks Bay, and their Cajun seasoning, which is called Balabatri blend.
Oh, wow.
But they don't taste like blackening or Cajun seasoning that you've had from all these other companies that essentially
it's put not out Paul Perdon.
No, there's a little different in each thing that they do.
It's more mobilized or Alabama Gulf Coastlized.
Playhouse says that they want you to play with your food, and that's exactly what's going on. It's it's delicious. It is really, 'cause that blackening seasoning looked a bit like curry when I put it in some heavy
cream. Really?
Bright orange color because they use some turmeric in it. Which has got Charlie's attention because turmeric's good for you, isn't it, Charlie?
What's it good for?
Turmeric is good for you, isn't it?
What's it good? If you say so.
You're the one that came in here spouting about it.
I got it. I have a question for you, Stu Rev Donald.
All righty.
And this piqued my interest yesterday. Now, of course, on Create Channel all weekend they're doing, you know, grilling shows, of
and
course.
You were watching Steven Reichland, right?
I was, and he had Curtis Stone on there yesterday.
Yeah. That's a big man, by the way.
He's tall.
Because remember, John Gibson's right around 6 foot, and he towered over John.
Yeah. But he was on there with him, and they were doing Wagyu steaks. And he had
Wagyu. That's why there's a Y at the end.
Okay. Wagyu steaks. Yeah. And he had some really weird grill setups in his restaurant. But he had 80-day-old
dry-aged
steaks. Now, he said it had like a blue cheese funk smell, a taste to it at the, you know, that you kind of pick up. And they described some other tastes. But what's his name, the host of the show? He had a regular 30-day. Yeah. I need to know these. I need to learn these things.
You really do need, because, you know, these
if these were wine guys, I'd tell you who they are, but, you know.
And it's ridiculous with Steven Reichland because you just said you watched an entire day of him with his name on the screen and them saying it at least three times every segment.
I was
segment.
Just taught in the 80-day-old.
Yeah. I just watched a video the other day. They aged one 500 days.
A year? Over a year?
Over a year.
Is there any meat left on it?
It's all meat. You just have to trim a lot of the bacterial funk off the outside, which is a good bacteria, by the way, not a bad bacteria.
They did the marbling looked the same, okay, because there's a lot of marbling. He said it's tougher to cut with a knife. Even you got a sharp knife, it's tougher to cut. They had to use a bandsaw because they were doing tomahawks with 80-day, and then the regular, they just did regular bone-in ribeye. I've yet to eat a tomahawk ribeye yet. Well, I've got to.
Tomahawk ribeyes are not for one person to eat. They're meant for couples or tables to share.
I don't know. You had to see me. Yeah, you have seen me.
Yeah, I have seen you. That's why I'm telling you. Tomahawk ribeyes are not for one person to eat. If you eat an entire tomahawk ribeye, I have to get a new show host because you'll be dead. And you are not designed to consume 58 ounces of ribeye meat all at one sitting.
They're all that big?
Oh, no. To be a tomahawk, it has to be big enough for two people.
Okay.
That's the purpose of it. That's bone-in and tomahawk are not the same thing. A tomahawk is two minimum steaks wide.
Well, I saw, at the World Food Championship when we were there back in the fall, they had them butterflied on a grill. That was neat.
Yeah, but now it's not a tomahawk anymore. It's just a ribeye steak.
Yeah.
That's two ribeye steaks stuck together.
Well, they had the long bone.
With a bone sticking out.
Yeah.
But still, that's no longer a tomahawk.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they have to be at least two and a half inches thick. It's got to be on the bone. The bone is the entire rib. Although it's completely unnecessary to have 24. Now, I'm not pshawing this because that's a place where if all of you are having a steak craving, four of you go together, you get a 78-ounce steak, and you all four share it. But we got to go to break.
Got to go to break.
Yeah,
we do that. Hey, folks, while we're on break, go to the website, Nappy Awards, and vote for Sip and Chew.
Best DJ team, y'all.
Best DJ team, Donut Jockeys.
Donut Jockeys. Junkies.
Junkies,
yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
The official David Calametti theme song.
You know, you play that. I don't only watch the Create Channel, but I also watch the reruns of Frasier. And I hear that song about 20 times a night. I hear it in my sleep.
Well, it's the official David Calametti theme song.
That's good. I like
as
that.
As of now.
Good for you. I want my own
Morning,
theme
David.
Song.
Morning.
We're going to get through this quick because right now it is comfortable to play tennis, but in about 2.5 hours, it's not going to be comfortable. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's a little warm. I played yesterday morning. I'm taking today off. I did a 2-hour clinic yesterday morning over in Pensacola with people that were above my level. So it was intense and good. And I've had my tennis for the weekend. I got work to do today.
Oh, okay.
We
okay.
Go
well,
out to Dolphin Island for the Sunday sunset concert with Yo Jonesy and the Crown Jewels.
Oh, that sounds good. I wish I didn't have to.
They
work.
Just are talk about some good energy. She's just fantastic. The whole that group is just fantastic.
They are in the music industry. They're tight.
They are tight.
They are tight.
That rhythm
section gets in the pocket. She pulls out that trombone. It's a good time.
Yes, it is. I've seen her. Oh my gosh, she's. She's incredible. Oh my, she actually has.
We gifted her with an official Dolphin Island conch last time she was there. So we blow the conch.
She's going to play the conch shell.
Sunset,
so. Oh yeah. See that's the thing most people don't know about trombone players is we all also play the conch shell because our mouthpiece fits perfectly inside the conch shell, and even if we don't have the mouthpiece, our embouchure is perfect for playing a conch shell. Steve Touré, who for the longest time has been the trombone player for Chick Corea, for years was on the Saturday Night Live band, does entire sections of his albums where he brings other trombone players on, and all of them play conch shells, and it's a choir, a conch shell choir. Think about that, David.
I have to find out what wine goes good with conch.
It's a white wine, whatever you serve with
a crustacean wine.
Yeah. David, you came on the show. Why don't we let you talk?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you guys are doing good. I was when we were in New Orleans last week. This guy Daniel from one of the charcoal companies was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the old drum smokers. He would do it upright instead of slicing it in half and doing it horizontal. He does it upright, has a hook in the top of it, drills a hole in a tomahawk steak, and smokes that thing for about 15 minutes at 500 degrees. He said, "There's a tomahawk steak for you." So,
guy from Fish River, his smoker's upright with a Harley Davidson muffler on it. Believe it or not, yeah.
So you guys were over for part of the weekend. It was really the World Food Championship final table. There was some little concern about the new format and how it would work. Because in previous years, everybody just competed in their category, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. But it really was a very good weekend, very competitive, tough challenges. The three finalists, well, everybody that advanced in the first five, in either round, were all chefs. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit different than, you know, the kind of the home cooks were shut out of this one.
Right.
Really strong. I mean, you guys saw the first round, and that was pretty intense.
I was just
New Orleans flavored eggs Benedict.
I was impressed by it. I was blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think Tim Benedict would get old, but there was and Peter Raja, who from Roanoke, I think.
Yeah, he's from Virginia.
Has an Indian restaurant there. He created what he called a gumbo Eggs Benedict, which was just spot on. You know, the stories that they used, that they added in their creation, were very valuable in the scoring, I think.
I saw so, too. Once they went before the judging, that was very interesting. Hearing the judges respond and talk back and forth with the presenter as a contestant, I found that part invaluable.
Yeah. And then the second and third round, they had to cook a dish with the owner of the restaurant and the executive chef as part of the judging team.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
Man, that was intense. Dickie Brennan, the second round, they had to replicate Redfish Bienville.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said, afterwards, none of them were like our red, none of them look like our redfish dish, but of course we cooked that thousands of times a month.
Right.
He said, but the flavors, many of the flavors were spot on, and he actually gave one dish a 10 per flavor.
Oh, wow. Really?
And then the same thing they had to do with the Antoine family and their executive chef for the appetizer round.
Mm-hmm.
Again, pretty intense. It's going to be a fun show. August 24th, I think at noon on CNBC. Mm-hmm. I think that's the channel. Yeah.
Is that a weekend, I'm guessing?
I think it's either Saturday or Sunday, which would be a weekend, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's the theory, man. I'm in the restaurant industry.
Isn't
so
that the Florida State game?
In August 24th?
Yes, early.
Really?
First college game's real early this year.
Excellent. We don't play for another week.
I have to miss that to watch the show.
Yeah. It's not Auburn or Alabama playing that day, so it's not quite as important.
I'll get my VHS.
It's still more important than any wedding.
I'll get my VHS recorder out and record it.
There you go. You Betamax.
Anyway.
Yeah. That must be built into your phone.
Well, look, I appreciate you guys letting me come on and do a little commercial here. Mm-hmm. One of the things we're doing tomorrow is we're doing a benefit, and actually John Serta has agreed to host it. He's opening the brewery, and we're opening early, but it's from 2 to 6. We're doing a benefit for a group called two veterans resource groups. It's Guns to Hammers, which is a construction company. He's based, J.R. Smith's based out of Houston. His mission is to bypass all the bureaucratic red tape, get these vets that are disabled into an ADA qualified or ADA home.
Excellent.
And so they raise money and they do these construction projects. A Hero, which is the more locally based, it's one affiliate that we're part of.
Right.
American Heroes Enjoying Recreation Outdoors. One of their guys is local, and he will be one of the two projects that we're funding. It's Dave Riley out of Sims, and Dave is a former serviceman and Coast Guard who is a quadruple amputee.
Oh, my gosh.
And one of the most positive individuals you'll ever meet in your life. He needs some help with some new flooring in his house and some windows and those kind of new window treatments. So apparently the windows are not up to standard. Dave just finished serving as commandant of the Disabled American, what is it? Hold on.
A lot of words.
Yeah. Yes. Completely blank. Anyway, okay. But he's going to be there. What John's going to do is he's going to donate $1 of every pint sold. Lily McCoy from Soul Heaven Cafe and Catering will have her trailer there. And they're going to donate proceeds to the cause as well. The other thing that, if you want to support this on an ongoing basis, you can just go to Guns to Hammer and make a donation. But John Serta, you know, the good guy that he is, the patriot that he is, has actually created a patriot blend of coffee that $5 of every bag goes to Guns to Hammer. So, great cause. Obviously, our vets deserve everything we can do for them, and somewhat partial compensation for what they've done for us.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a great afternoon. Good folks out there, and if you can come by and grab a pint and say hello, a little fellowship, that'd be great. If
all
you
right.
want to go to the website and make a donation to Guns to Hammers, or if you want to start drinking Serta Patriot Blend coffee, all those things help this cause.
All right, David. Well, you have a good Memorial Day, buddy. And
thank you, sir.
Hey, we got to go online and vote for Sip and Chew for best DJ team, okay?
Got it.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right, folks, we come back. Mad Dog Barbecue.
Woohoo!
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, this is Patty from The Warehouse, and you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
I love when Charlie says that. Anyway. All right, folks, we're back, and Stu has stepped out, and it's kind of, sort of. And make room for our guest we have here. We have our guests here today are Cullen Millsap and Philip Shermer? Shermer, is that right? Okay.
Exactly.
The microphone, guys. Talk right into the microphone. And they're with Mad Dog Barbecue. I'm going to tell you what, they are all over Facebook trying to get that Nappy Award for Best Barbecue Sauce. And they're here today pushing it, you know. And, I'm all for them, man. You know, they're doing everything they can. And I like that. I like that. But so, guys, when did y'all get the idea? Hey, let's do our own barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's a funny story. This is actually.
Oh, I got to wait.
That's not the punchline. it's actually my grandfather's recipe, and he's from Evergreen, Alabama.
Okay.
And there was a gentleman who used to make barbecue by the railroad tracks in Evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather would always ask him for his sauce recipe. But the guy would never give it up. So my grandfather made the closest possible replication to that barbecue sauce. So he made it for his family. He passed it to my dad. My dad made it for us in all his duty stations throughout the Navy. And then got to the point where I took it over. Mm-hmm. So I got my Marine buddy, Philip, and we got a label, got a bottler, you know, got a co-packer. And so we're bringing it here to market.
Oh, cool. So how long y'all been doing this?
The recipe is from 1956, but we've actually been doing it for 3 years.
Oh yeah, that long?
Yeah.
Oh wow, wow. So what's the recipe?
Okay, I'll just email it to you.
So your dad was able to get the recipe out of the guy, you know? Right?
Yeah. So my grandfather, he couldn't get the recipe.
He
tried to replicate as close as he could get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably about as close as you get to Mr. Willie's and Evergreen's barbecue.
Okay. Now, I haven't tried it yet, so how would you describe it?
Go ahead, Phil.
I like to describe it as a perfect blend of your mustard, your ketchup, your vinegar sauces without really being too overpowering in any way. You're going to get that vinegar on the back end without it being a runny sauce like your Carolina sauces normally are.
Right.
Real onions, natural ingredients, just the quality of the spices there. It's a good dipping sauce, but it's a great sauce to use your traditional smoking and grilling. But we like to bring it in the kitchen too. Put it in your meatloaf. Put some on your scrambled eggs. It's just a real versatile sauce, you know.
Now, see, I'm a dipper. I don't want my meat covered in barbecue sauce.
Sure. I'm the same way.
But you said meatloaf.
Meatloaf, take a tablespoon or two.
I hadn't thought about that.
It won't make it in your hamburgers. It doesn't make it automatically barbecue. Now, if you want it, you can be as heavy-handed as you want with the sauce.
Yeah.
But the spices that we use, it just keeps it juicy, really complements the meat. We're big advocates of complementing the meat and the cook and not concealing them or covering them up.
I understand.
Unless you need to, of course.
I understand. Now, I like my sauce. You know, I like it thick, but I want to be able to get every drop out of the bottle. You know, I want it runny enough to get every drop out of the bottle. I don't know if you've heard, but I do have a barbecue sauce, too.
I've heard.
We okay. have heard.
And, I hadn't even produced any this year, and I got to where I was only producing it once a year, but I hadn't even thought about it. I've thought about it, but I hadn't had time. And I will do it again. But I am a dipper, and my barbecue sauce is root beer-based. You could put it in Bloody Marys.
Right, okay.
So have y'all done that yet?
I've done that before.
I have not. Yeah.
I've done that.
It just gives that a little.
Yeah, it gives a little smoke flavor. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's perfect.
Absolutely. So tell me how you marketing this. What are you doing? How are you marketing? Where are you putting it at?
So mostly we're in, we've picked up some local vendors in mm-hmm. Mobile and Baldwin County. Mm-hmm. But really our bread and butter are these markets, you know, the market at the Pillars and the night market at the Fort and all these different farmers mm-hmm. markets.
Yeah.
So that's what we enjoy the most and seems to get the best reaction.
Right.
But anyone, you know, anybody locally in Mobile and Baldwin County can buy it in different stores. We're up to, 15?
Yeah, we're really doing the support local thing.
So absolutely.
We're in Greer's is our grocery store.
They're really good beyond, about supporting products.
Exactly. And beyond that, you know, we're in places like Antique Emporium, mm-hmm. Urban Emporium, Austin Brothers Lawn and Tractor. You know, everybody likes barbecue sauce. So it's not just grocery stores, Lad and Dad's. Trying to really, you know, we're born here, we're produced here, mm-hmm. we're co-packed here, bottled here, everything's done right here in Mobile.
Cool.
And so we're trying to use those local, smaller outlets to get our sauce out. So mm-hmm. They're supporting us, and we're supporting them right back.
Absolutely. Keep those dollars in Mobile.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right. That's what our show's all about here, you know.
And, you know, yeah. Cullen hit on a minute ago, we were in Iraq together. His dad was in the Navy. His grandfather was also in the Navy. So we're four veterans have been involved with this sauce.
Thank y'all for your service.
Thanks for your support.
Yes, yes.
And in addition to supporting local, we also give a portion of each bottle to Veterans Recovery Resources, which
That's awesome.
Located right here in Mobile.
That's
so
awesome.
Your veterans and their families, everything's just right here in Mobile and Baldwin County. You know, and we have aspirations of getting bigger, but right now that's where we want to be, and,
yeah.
and that's who loves us and who we love, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did too, but, you know, I'm content with where I get it, where I sell it at. And I'm over in Pensacola, some in Mississippi, but,
yeah,
you know, not too far where I can't manage it. And
Exactly.
So,
and we'll be pushing those directions as well.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you some names.
Yeah, please do.
Give you some names. And that's a great story to tell them as you push it, you know,
yeah.
that you're offering. Because I know there's a wine out there called Sea Turtle.
Okay.
And every dollar of that bottle sold, it goes toward the restoration and the maintenance of sea turtle nests.
Yeah.
And we're in that season right now.
Yeah, it's a huge initiative.
Oh, yeah. And it's amazing how people don't know how to identify. And so they need, you know, what a nest is. So these people need to get out there and put barriers around it. And that costs money.
Right.
They don't give that stuff away free.
Yeah, exactly.
At hardware stores or whatever.
What I like to tell people is, you know, our story, our cause is what sells the first bottle.
Yeah.
And people go home a lot of times feeling good about buying a mediocre product because mm-hmm. their dollars went to a good cause.
Yeah.
And the taste of the sauce is going to bring you back for more. It really is a good quality sauce and for a good cause. And like we said before, right here locally.
Absolutely. And you use it as many local ingredients as I know it's hard to get everything here locally, but.
So,
yeah, because other than Perdido Vineyards, there's not going to be a local vineyard or a local vinegar, and that's probably a little more expensive than you would do.
Right. You know, unlike a lot of barbecue sauces, this is made basically from scratch. So, mm-hmm. a lot of people will take an existing barbecue sauce, doctor it up, mm-hmm. call it their own. This is essentially all these ingredients are what. You know, obviously I can't divulge too much, but there's 32 ingredients in here, so it's not just doctoring up something that's already existing.
And guess what, Stu? It says right here, no fructose corn syrup.
Heck yeah.
There you go.
That's
I love
right.
that. I love that.
Yes.
That's natural right there. So
yeah, so it's
oh, you got your story on the bottle.
So it's low natural. Carbs, we don't add refined sugar. Like he said, no high fructose corn syrup. It's a healthy alternative to your normal barbecue sauces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where can people find you at on as far as social media?
So social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. We do have a website with e-commerce in the works right now.
Okay.
But you can find us. We're announcing new vendors, new markets. We just got through doing the Blue Star event down at the Battleship. Mm-hmm. Different charity events that will be coming up. Look for a barbecue competition here in Mobile, hopefully, to benefit veterans recovery in the near future. And then maybe even some new flavors coming up soon. But Facebook and Instagram is really the best way to keep up with what's happening, what's new with us, and things of that
nature. Now, they used to have I haven't seen in a while, Hog Wild competition.
Right.
And I went out there several years in a row, and, man, I sold a ton of barbecue sauce at that thing. And there were hundreds of vendors out there selling barbecue sauce, and I still sold a bunch.
Yeah.
And are y'all planning on getting into any competitions and – going to get some guys out, you know, out of Memphis, and pay no attention to the guy behind the curtains.
Yes, I mean, so I always tell Phil, I kind of joke, and he's like, "We should do some competitions." And I was like, "Well, I don't know how to cook it. I just know how to make the barbecue sauce," which is sort of a joke because
what you do. What I'm talking about, all right, they got the one in Kansas City. They got the Royal thing. Right. You can send your bottles in. Or you can go to some of the local barbecue, because they always have a category for barbecue sauces.
Sure.
And you don't have to fix it there. You just show up with your stuff and sample it out. And I mean, that's how you start, you know, accumulating your ribbons and your awards and accolades and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Because you want to use those. I do have a National Barbecue Association People's Choice Award on mine. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, nice. It's definitely something that we're looking forward to doing in the future. Mm-hmm. We did a little competition back in, I think it was 2010, with his dad in Birmingham to do more of that kind of stuff. I know there's a push right now to make a Gulf Coast Pitmasters Association, which I think is exciting as well. Alabama Barbecue is its own barbecue.
Yeah, what's good about doing the competitions is you get to sell it there,
and it
put a lot, and particularly your calls, you know, put a lot of cash into your calls, put a lot of cash in your pocket, or reinvesting back into the product to, you know, what about
and the exposure?
Absolutely,
and like the nappies.
Absolutely, they're fun. You know,
look,
those competitions.
What about new flavors? What do you?
They're in the works. Mm-hmm. We've got some. We're sort of, I would say, beta testing. And I would say within the next 6 months, we'll have one or two more out.
We've got a lot of one of our biggest compliments is that it's a unique sauce.
Yeah.
It's not going to replace necessarily of some other sauces that you really like, the you know, particular flavors of them. So when we do a sweet sauce, for example, we don't want it to be another run-of-the-mill sweet sauce.
Right.
When we do a spicy sauce, not just add cayenne pepper and make and call it spicy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try to keep things unique, keep the base flavor profile of what Mad Dogs is, but try to be creative. Give the consumer a little bit something different to choose from.
And how'd you get the name Mad Dog?
It's a funny story. It was my dad's call sign while he was in the Navy.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay. So I've seen it more with the Marines than I did, but Navy, Marines, you know, close to it. Well, guys, thank you again for coming in. Our segment's about up here. Tell people again where they can buy it out here locally.
Look on Facebook. We'll have a list of all of our vendors right there. The most important thing is the nappies, best local barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Vote in the nappies. Find us on Facebook and Instagram.
You got to admire their persistence here.
MADDAW.
I tell you what, we'll vote for y'all if y'all vote for us.
Hey, deal. You got it.
Is that a deal? All right, guys. Thank y'all for coming in.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
appreciate you.
Get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
This is Tony over at Bob's Downtown Restaurant. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu, that's us.
He's at the corner of Fat and Happy.
That's a good
great people. And I'm going to tell you, Tony does all kind of fundraisers there on Tuesday nights.
He had one this week, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he does so many fundraisers. He's even though he lives in Gulf Shores, mm-hmm. he's a coastal guy. He does a lot of things to raise money. And, you know, you see all these people all the time.
He's by Bayway.
Okay. But you see all these guys on motorcycles out there, and they say, well, it must be nice just ride around riding on motorcycles on these pretty days. Well, guess what? A lot of times they're out raising money. For functions, and oh, it's incredible. Hey, but I want to tell you something, Stu. You know, we went to see Paul McCartney the other day in New Orleans, and it was so good. But his voice is breaking up, and he's in what, 76 years old. You know, he's still rocking it, and he sung "Hey Jude," which is a 51 years old song. But
that's Julian Lennon, who it was named after.
Yeah. And the place is just, everybody was singing every song. But on our way over there, we were hungry.
Hungry?
We were hungry. So
where'd you eat?
So we went to Bozo's in Pascagoula.
Oh, that place is fantastic.
And I have not been there since they opened a new restaurant.
Yeah.
Right next to it.
It's been expanded, right?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And I'm going to tell you what, for $8, you can get a shrimp po' boy and a cup of gumbo. But I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't no little 4-inch. It was like an 8-inch. Mm-hmm. They said that was a half a – that sandwich was 8-inch long, and it must have had 30-plus fried shrimp on it. And then every spoonful of gumbo I brought out of my cup of gumbo had one or two shrimp on it.
Scrimps.
They make it like I make it. Mm-hmm. And but I'm about to tell you, it was phenomenal. And I saw Keith walking outside, the guy who owns it. Mm-hmm. You never know he's the owner. He's got a dirty hat on. He's got a green, like a dirty old torn, got pulls in his shirt, T-shirt, with stains all over it, and jeans dragging the ground underneath the shoes. Mm-hmm. And he just looks like some guy, an employee that's been beat up and overworked. And he's the guy. I mean,
that's because he's an owner.
He's the owner. Yeah. He sets
that's
example.
Why he looks beat up.
And I used to do business with Keith. And let me tell you what, he's there every day.
Yeah.
Every day. So, folks, get by there at Bozo's. Support your local restaurants. Here, too. But if you get over there, go to Bozo's. The food is phenomenal.
It's road trip worthy.
And it's fresh because they bring it in right there.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is.
And I bring up that phrase because Heather and I are working on a new blog of our travels.
Oh, really?
Road trip worthy restaurants.
Yeah.
And the blog's out there. We got one post so far, and it's about us last week going to Lucy's.
Yeah.
Just to get it set up. We'll publicize it. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we'll get it set up in a little bit. But what we want to do is highlight, as you like to call it, the hidden gems.
Yeah.
So this what we'll do is places like Gather in Atmore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tawny's place up in Monroeville, Stagecoach. We're it'll just be pictures and us talking about the experience. I thought Lucy's Fit, even though it's right smack dab in the middle of the Central Business District in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a dive bar, and across the street you had Craft Tavern, and down the street you had Emeralds in one way, and you had Donald Link restaurants the other way, and it doesn't fit that neighborhood, which makes it a gem.
Absolutely. And also right down from there is the New Orleans Wine Institution.
Right. So everything along Chapatulas there is a little hoity-toity. Little, as far as hoity-toity as hoity-toity as Nolan's going to get.
It's for people whose last name are the Third.
The Third. Go,
like Thurston Howell the Third.
Trey. Trey is what they called him in parochial school. I ate at a wonderful place yesterday. Did you see my picture? Heather and I went to Pot au Feu yesterday. Pot au Feu.
Pot au Feu?
Yeah. And, you know, it's chopstick food. But it was – I don't know why you're shaking your head, man. You love everything you eat. It's just your body rejects it because it's healthy. You're like, oh, this is healthy.
Huh? I don't reject it. It's just hard to get it from the bowl to my mouth with those little sticks.
Dude, you can use a spoon or a fork. Just not out in L.A. because you look like a bumpkin. But anyway,
I'm a bumpkin.
You would have really liked the dish I got yesterday.
Would I?
Crispy seafood noodle bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The seafood was not crispy. It was steamed. The vegetables were steamed. The bowl was crispy. The bowl was fried noodles.
Oh, wow.
In the shape of a bowl. Put the seafood in it, pour a little gravy over the top of it, so the noodles underneath the gravy turn back into noodles, but everything else is crunchy and crispy and fried.
Where's this at?
Pot of Pho's on Azalea across from Davidson High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the best pho shops in town.
I haven't eaten there yet. I ate the one down the road.
Pho 88. Also very good pho. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that we're really loving right now is Jade Flames.
Got to get out there.
But they do one pho. And Heather wanted an assortment yesterday. And Pot of Pho, that's, you know, they've got 15 different pho on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it was fantastic. It was $10 for mine, $10 for her. We both brought half of it home, so we have more to eat.
Hmm.
I mean, that's fantastic. And this is the neatest little place. It's Vietnamese food in a Vietnamese neighborhood, and all the servers are Hispanic.
And you know what? It has been a Vietnamese neighborhood because I grew up not too far from there.
Yeah.
And it's been Vietnamese since...
And Cambodian.
Since the end of the world, Vietnam War.
Yeah, when
been a community there for a while.
Even as a child watching on the news, I felt so heartbroken for the people of Vietnam and Cambodia who were risking everything on these man-made rafts to go from the Indian Ocean and ending up in Balabatri on a man-made raft. And people that can do – first off, what kind of government are you getting away from?
Right.
That would make you take that risk. And you see it in Cuba, and you see it in lots of other places where there is a totalitarian dictatorship over them. You know, people can sit here and say that Obama was a dictator and that Trump is a dictator, but you don't see people from this country lashing together pallets and making a paddle out of a stick to get to another country.
Yeah. But, you know, what tragic as it is, it brought us.
Right.
Great flavors.
And brought them the opportunity.
Absolutely.
And you look at the things, the businesses in down in South Mobile County, all over the place that are, have, you know, these people came here and said, you just give me a job. I'll make something of it. And they all own shrimp boats now. They have companies, processing companies, restaurants. It was a sad beginning. It's been a triumphant end to the story. So
absolutely.
I have nothing but respect for all of the Asian community that lives here in Mobile. They have added so much to our culture. Well, you've been – when was the last time you went to Blessing of the Fleet in Balabatri?
It's been a while, a couple of years.
Half the food trucks are Asian food.
Yeah.
I bet. And it's fantastic. But we got a minute to go.
Yeah. Folks, we're gonna sign out a different way today, and we want to honor
– And it is Memorial Day.
It is Memorial Day.
Unfortunately, it's fitting.
Absolutely, and but folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local.
Don't drink and drive. Call a Lyft. Call
an
Uber.
There's
absolutely no reason to get behind the wheel of a car.
Absolutely,
absolutely. I'll come pick you up. Text me.
All right, folks. Goodbye.
Well, and you know, fellas, we ought to include in our prayers Rod Bramlett's family. Rod Bramlett, voice of Auburn, and his wife killed in a traffic accident last night. And our prayers go to their family.
Absolutely.
War Eagle.
This is Rod Bramlett, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Listen to Tiger Talk each Thursday night at 7 on your official Auburn IMG Sports Network station. FM Talk 106.5.